car loan, all with Royal Banks of Missouri. Check them out at royalbanksofmo.com.
Tim McKernan here for Design Air Heating and Cooling. Their business is essential to your comfort and safety, so Design Air will continue to offer services for emergency repair, installation, and preventative maintenance while taking all of the recommended precautions to eliminate physical contact. For more information on air purifiers, please visit designairservice.com. And for all of your heating and air conditioning needs, contact the official HVAC company of the Ryan Kelly Morning After, Design Air Heating and Cooling.
Tune in to Rethinking Retirement with Marvin Mitchell of Compass Retirement Solutions, Sunday mornings at 7 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. That's Rethinking Retirement with Marvin Mitchell every Sunday morning at 7. Compass Retirement Solutions is an independent financial services firm helping individuals create retirement strategies using a variety of investment and insurance products to custom suit their needs and objectives. Investments and services offered through Compass Retirement Group, a registered investment advisory in Missouri and Illinois.
See the USA in your Chevrolet. America's asking you to call. Drive your Chevrolet through the USA.
Dinah Shore, former girlfriend of Burt Reynolds for a long, long time. She was a lot older than he was. Older chicks can teach you stuff. At least that's what I hear. It is time now to check in with your and our favorite car dealer, ladies and gentlemen, John Landau. Hello, John. How are you?
I'm great. How are you doing, Frank?
I'm good. On a serious note, you, and again, I should have called you yesterday or today and ask you this off the air, but I'll just ask you on the air, and if the answer is no, then it's no, and that's fine, and nobody will email me. But I know, and these, I don't think most people do, you lost a friend. You lost a very good friend, I believe, last weekend, toward the end of last week. Is that right?
Yeah.
If you don't want to mention him, I understand.
No, I don't. No.
Okay.
No, it's still very difficult, and you know, he was one of my very, very best friends, and you know, I'll miss him dearly. So,
well, let me put it this way:
in this situation with this, you know, this terrible pandemic, and just what we're all going through to survive, and the unfortunate part that some people aren't surviving the virus. You know, it's just makes it even more difficult. So, you know. My deal is to reach out to the people, especially if it's someone that you haven't talked to in a while. And I know we've talked about this before. And you're like, you know what? I haven't talked to that son of a gun because if it's something, you know, it doesn't matter. Call someone up and tell them that I'm sorry or, you know, that you love them. And, you know, you get through it.
And I think that's good advice, but I also believe there are exceptions. I believe there are in your life. And at least with some people, there are people who have done something so horrific and so unforgivable that I don't believe you're expected to call them and say, hey, let's patch this up and make it right. I have two people in my life that I am not the least bit interested in ever making it right again, because what they did to either me or somebody in my family is actually unforgivable. And I know that's not acceptable to those people who think, well, we should be willing to forgive anybody and everybody for everything. No, I disagree.
I have one.
Well, we're all different. Well, you know, we're all different, but you know, it's and I think it's a, you know, depends on the situation, but still you know, with what happened, I've actually reached out, and I've had some people reach out to me about another really good buddy of mine that was a duck hunting buddy that moved out of state, and we hadn't talked in a while because of a business transaction that he had for me, and I said no, and it was like, you know, don't be mad at me, I don't want to invest, you know, that much money with you, and blah, blah, blah. But you know, we talked it out, and it was great to talk to him, great to hear his voice. We probably hadn't talked to each other in over 3 years. And so we're going to make sure we get together for lunch or dinner when he comes back into town.
Well, you were summer. With me. I think this is a good story. You happened to be with me This was about 3 months ago or so, and we were having dinner, and at a table next to us was somebody that I have not spoken to for 30 years because of something business-related that happened, and I mentioned it to you, and you didn't know about it, and I told you the story, and I went over to the table, actually to say hello to somebody else who was there, but this person was there. And I will probably tell the story because it ended up great. But I had not, I had made a point not to speak to him for 30 years and to never enter his business for 30 years. And 3 months ago, for the first time in 30 years, I walked in his business to shake his hand and to end, bury this 30-year thing. And I was so glad I did it. There's a case where it was just ridiculous to let it go on and not get fixed. So
and you
this
feel, you feel better about it, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I really do. And to make clear, your friend did not die from coronavirus. We're not going to get into that. And don't email me and ask me, but I just didn't know if you wanted, and when you do, by the way, and you're ready to just say anything, if you ever do, you can certainly do it here. And if you don't, I understand that too. But I do know. And that day when I talked to you, I could hear it. This really came out of nowhere. And I guess what we could say to people without getting too specific is, what John said, if there is somebody that you really care about, that's a good friend and has been a friend for a long time, and you just realize, you know what, I haven't talked to, pick a name, you know, I haven't talked to Alex for 5 months for no particular reason, it doesn't take but 3 minutes to just grab the phone and go, hey man, how you doing? Is everything okay? I haven't talked to you for a while.
There you go. It's important. It's always great to, to reach out. And in this, you know, world of texting and emailing, it's still okay to pick a phone up and call somebody. It's still okay to have that contact, that voice contact. I mean, and more people now are doing these, virtual happy hours where you get in a group of people, they're at home and you're at home and some other people, and my sons are doing it with a bunch of their buddies. Obviously on the weekends, Friday and Saturday. But who knows? This thing keeps going. These virtual happy hours might start on Wednesdays and Thursdays and Fridays and Saturdays. But because you're not going to get in your car and go driving anywhere because there's nowhere to go. So
tell me if you ever got one of these. My last birthday, and this is the third time I've gotten one of these, and I don't like them. And I answer the phone. I go, hello. And it's something, I guess, that you buy for a dollar. But here's what I heard on the other end of the phone. Okay, everybody, are you ready? Ooh. And then this group of people, happy birthday to you. They're singing to you. And then it ends with, happy birthday, buddy. Now, I don't have any idea who it was from. I don't know who that was. I don't know if it was even really some. And I thought, what a ridiculous, impersonal thing to do. It was just stupid. And if the person who sent it is listening, I'm sorry, but I don't even know who you were. I don't know who you are. Who did that?
Let me talk about something I know you don't like to talk about. I'm just going to switch gears.
Cats.
And that is haircuts. This is when you're lucky. You don't have to worry
about
a haircut.
No,
I mean,
I don't.
I'm telling you what, I'm probably pretty soon going to have to start wearing, you know, a hunting cap or a fishing cap or a cap. Because, I mean, my hair, I'm blessed. I got a lot of hair, man. It is thick and it is curly. And I keep going, rub it in. I just, no, I'm not. I'm just, you know, I mean, I'm thinking about, you know, the women listeners. They're right. You know, wherever they go to get their hair done, they're shut down. Unless you find someone who said, hey, you know, come to my house and I'll do it. But even, I mean, that's apparently, illegal, obviously. But, yeah, I mean, you know, not being able to get a haircut for like a couple more weeks. I mean, I'm gonna feel sorry because when they do finally get a chance to cut this hair, and there's gonna be hair everywhere. I'm gonna have to like say, here, I'm really sorry. Give me a broom and let me sweep this stuff up. It's gonna be like a pile of it. Oh man,
my wife's mother used to have like a one person little salon, beauty parlor, they called them, I think, in her house when my wife was a little girl. And my mother-in-law used to go do the hair of dead people at the funeral home.
That's big business, actually.
It is a huge business, because think about it. Everybody that's prepared, he gets prepared, there's the embalming, but somebody has to do the hair, and then they have to do it right, or the family, that's not the way she wore her hair.
I know
hair.
A couple of people that do that, and they still do it, but it's pretty big business. But man,
and even though the customer can't complain, because the customer's dead, the family can be a nightmare, because she would never, if she could see this, she'd be turning over already,
she's not even
in the grave yet.
How does this look in the back? Oh, it doesn't matter.
So they give you pictures of the person, and you have to go from that and hope that you kind of get it right. But I asked her one time, I said, that's just creepy. You wash their hair, and then they set it or whatever they do, and the person's dead.
Well, they can't complain. They can't say, oh, well, I'll take a little bit more off here, a little bit more. And then what about a tip? They can't get a tip.
No.
Right?
I mean, so how's your day been?
The way the departure business is going, there won't be much need for those people to do hair, because the latest numbers, there was an article 2 weeks ago on cremation, at least this country, more and more, and I think it's at the 50% mark, like half the people now just want cremation.
Yeah, but some of them will be laid out for the wake and everything. And
have you seen cremated? Have you seen another thing they're doing now?
Oh, they have a cremation. I didn't know that.
Yeah, they have cremation caskets.
Oh, okay, no, hang on a sec. You want to talk about like people being buried and stuff like that? There's that one celebrity that got buried in a mushroom suit. Like his entire outfit was made out of mushrooms. There's another one now where they put you in like this egg-shaped casket, fill it with dirt, and then stick a tree on top of you. And then as your body decomposes, you feed a tree.
Fertilize the tree.
Yeah, right. Yeah. There's other ones where they just they have your ashes like condensed into a diamond, so you can be put on like a family ring or something like that.
That's right. They do
was it carbonizing or something like that?
Yeah, it's a compression that sort of simulates what nature does that takes thousands of years, and they do it in a few minutes, and it's a diamond.
Yeah.
But it's not really a diamond.
Yeah, it's not going to be worth anything. But you can if you wanted to, you can stick it on a ring, you know.
Or wear your husband on a necklace.
Yeah, right.
Around your neck. The best one I ever saw, because I don't know that there's a law that, I guess the law states that you have to be 6 feet under. You can't bury somebody, 1 foot shallow grave. But I don't, beyond that, I don't think there's a limit. In other words, it could be deeper or bigger, because I will never forget, and I saw a photo of it, the guy who in his will said he wanted to be buried on his Harley, sitting on his Harley. So that's how the funeral home prepared him, a leather jacket, on his Harley, and just lowered him on the Harley into the ground.
Huh.
So I guess you can do that. It is weird.
Wow,
the weird whole business is weird.
Waste of a great Harley. Unless it was.
That's what I was thinking.
Old,
that's Mike.
It wasn't running or anything, but most people all of us call in and listen to the show because you make us laugh. Here we are. We're talking about death.
You're talking about reality and life, because you have to face some things, and it started with this, and I'll leave it at this. I'm sorry about your friend, because I could just tell, and this is somebody that, look, over the course of time, you've mentioned a couple of dozen people more than once that you've known and grew up with, hunted with, whatever. And I know this was a long time, buddy, so I'm sorry about it, because it really was unexpected. And again, if there is a point here, the point is, and I know you had kept him, it's not like you hadn't spoken to him or you were having a fight, it wasn't that, but you just don't know. You don't know when you're not going to see somebody again. So something to think about.
My dad used to have just so many great sayings, but he would say, son, men and women are the only creatures that God created that know their destiny. We know that we're born and that we're going to die. And it was what you do between the times, between the day that you're brought onto this earth and then when you leave. That's what counts. It's what you do between those periods. And, you know, this buddy of mine, he did a lot. He did a lot of good for a lot of people. And he was always taking care of others and maybe not taking as good a care of himself as he should have. But, you know, it's just we move on. And I'll never forget this guy. And I'll think about him all the time. And there'll be times that I, of course, laugh and smile because he's a funny guy. And there'll be times that I still will tear up. So.
Okay. And as we end it, for somebody who just tuned in, don't email me. It's not my place to tell you what we're talking about. It was just a friend of John's who passed away, and I just wanted to see if he wanted to mention it, and that was it. And now we move on to reminding people that they can still have their cars serviced, as they always could, at Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, and they can still buy a new Chevy, and they can still buy pre-owned vehicles.
Yes, sir. They sure can. And thank you to the AM and the PM crowd. Almost every day, even with this, you know, terrible pandemic, and when all clear comes out, and it still might be a while, we are gonna get out and we put something with all the local restaurants, you know, that are hurting, we would on cars and small SUVs, keep your receipts. I'm not talking about McDonald's or Wendy's or fast food. I'm talking about locally owned, you know, restaurants that have their employees working, you know, on a staggered schedule, and we gotta keep them going, because when we come out of this thing, I probably won't be hungry, because I'm like you, I'm gaining weight, I'm working out, but I'm still eating. But you gotta help out.
Then you're not like me, because you just said you're working out, so that's where we part company.
There's a video on our Facebook page about this very thing that John is talking about with Johnny Londoff talking.
So keep receipts, up to $500 additional off. And if you say, I just bought a car, bring the receipts in later on, and we'll cut you a check. $500 on cars and small SUVs like Equinox and Trax, Traverse, and then $1,000 on Silverado pickup trucks and Suburbans and Tahoes.
I just this second in my mind wrote a poem that I would like to share with you. Haven't even had a chance to write it down. It's just in my head. And I'm speaking now on behalf of all the AM and the PM customers who either have or will buy cars from you. And here it is. I just did it. Even with this virus that's named for a crown, AM and the PM customers will never let you down. No virus can keep AM and the PMers away from the advertisers who keep the show on the air. There is no virus that strong.
So there you go. Beautiful. Well, give us a call. I mean, and everything's online, lawndoff.com. So 314-837-1800 or lawndoff.com. One more day. I always, in the wintertime, I always say we're one day closer to spring. Well, spring's here now. Beautiful, beautiful day today to make you feel good. A lot of people out walking and running. I'm sure that you're going to probably get out for a long walk later today, Frank, after the show.
12 miles.
Oh.
My usual after show 12-mile walk.
Like 12 steps to and from the car.
From the fridge.
Yeah.
The car. All right, have a great rest of the show.
Okay, John, you too. Thank you.
Thanks so much.
I think it hurts to walk. Like hiking. It hurts.
It hurts?
Some people,
you're healthy, it doesn't hurt to walk.
Well, then I'm not healthy.
Unless you have a bad knee.
Some people aren't built to hike or run. I can't run. Never could run. I'm not
your feet stick out.
Yeah, right. You walk like a duck.
I walk like a duck. You can't run like that. Yeah. You trip all over
ducks
yourself.
aren't made for hiking. They do great on flat ground.
How many times do ducks sprint? Never.
No, you'd never see a duck run.
Can we have Dr. Doug's music, please, Bruce?
How much is that jug in the window?
Yes. How much is that dog in the... The answer to that question will depend on where you bought it. Is it purebred? Is it a mutt? need to pay anything for it. Maybe it didn't cost anything. Maybe it's not in a window. Maybe you don't care about dogs. Maybe you're a cat person. Whatever. We have your pet's best friend right here. And we also have the official veterinarian of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon. He is Dr. Doug Pernikoff. Oh, and he's brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the United States. WindowWorldSt.Louis.com. Give it up for Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody.
Hey.
How are you, doctor?
I am AM in the PM.
Now, it was really nice when you were coming in. Are you not coming in because of the social distancing thing, or is it because you're in Africa working on a lion or something?
Yeah, my wife's convinced I'll die if I leave the house, so I'm just kind of humor her.
Now, if that were true, she would have changed the locks and locked you out.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, absolutely true. Yeah, I prefer to come in, too.
Well, we have some calls. Unless you have something special you need to share with us, like any kind of, obviously you saw where the tiger was tested, had coronavirus. I don't think that's any reason for people to start freaking out thinking their cat might have it.
Yeah, there's no. First of all, the species are quite different: the tiger and the little domestic cat. And you know, every relationship's going to be a little bit different, but. Right now, the CDC, Center for Disease Control, says that there's no notable risk for animals and man transferring the disease back and forth to one another. Obviously, it can happen. That's how we feel it began in the first place, you know, at a food market. But basically, it's not a threat. And just use common sense. You know, if you're positive and you're isolating yourself at home, but you're not clinical, then I would be cautious about spending time with your animal and then letting him go and spend time with somebody else, because we don't know exactly what's going on.
Did I mishear you, or was the first thing you said was the feces are different between the small cats and
species?
Oh, I just said feces.
And the feces are too, in fact.
Yeah, one's big and one's small. Lion feces are big. Little cat feces are small.
That's a very good point. Scientific.
Well, we have calls. Would you like to speak with these people? All right, let's start with Steve. Steve, thank you so much. Welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Okay, hi, Dr. Doug, but this has nothing to do with pets. I called in on the earlier segment.
Well, when we roll over to this hour, it's Dr. Doug's segment.
Hello,
but
Steve.
You know what, Steve? We've been holding a while. We'll make an exception. What can we do for you?
I just want to know about what you would have done in Wisconsin. Would you have waited 4 hours to vote and take the chance of coming home and infecting your family and all that stuff? I mean, this is, it's nuts. I just don't understand. I said people are waiting in line for 4 hours and they're standing there, you know, social distancing and all that, wearing their masks, but they could still bring that home to the people that they love, you know, whatever. And they were just asking the question, would you have stayed in line for 4 hours to vote? Is voting that important to you?
I think voting is very important, but that's a really good question. I think it depends on, are you standing in line in New York City, or are you standing in line in a distant hour-out suburb of Phoenix, where it's warm and dry? Okay, Wisconsin... That's a great question. I think that would depend on how political you are, how much you love or hate whoever's is the incumbent that you're trying to get out or want to keep in. I think it depends on the person from that standpoint, because there are people in this country who don't even vote and don't care. And they're obviously going to put the health thing first. That's a great question. And I don't know that I can answer it because I'm not in Wisconsin.
I don't know why they didn't put it off until...
I don't know why they didn't put it off either.
Mail-in ballots, you know? Mail-in ballots. I mean...
It's because the Supreme Court wouldn't let them. The governor tried, and the Supreme Court overruled them in that state.
Oh.
But the truth is, Steve, I don't know that I trust any of it. Online is obviously something that could be hacked easily by some genius, and that whole thing could be screwed up. Voting can be tampered with, and quite frankly, I think when you walk in and pull the curtain and do it, that could be messed with too. We don't actually ever see what happens. after we leave there to those ballots.
I'm trying to think if there's anything in the world I would stand in line 4 hours for. Anything in the world.
No.
I've only done it twice. I've stood in line 4 hours. I stood in line 4 hours to see the Johnny Carson on the Tonight Show years ago.
Wow.
Years ago. But you have no choice. You don't have a choice.
You just stand.
Everybody does.
You couldn't have a chair?
Oh, no. No. Everyone who, at least then, who went to the Tonight Show stood outside that studio in Burbank. You stood in line hoping to get a ticket for a seat. And then at a certain point when it was full and all the seats were filled, they had to go tell Jack Schmuck, who's been standing there, sorry, this is where the line ends. Thanks for waiting. No more ticket. No, that's the only time I've ever stood for 4 hours. So, Steve, probably the answer to your question is no. I don't believe I would have.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Not a bad question, but, hey, he was holding for a long time. And now the line is open. 314-821-0590, 855-282-8255. Phil, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hello, Dr. Doug, gang, Slimy.
Phil?
Hey, what's up, Phil?
Hello.
Hey, so a few months ago I called. Good. A few months ago I called you and you helped me out. I was the one who had a dog to leave the prop, would leave the bratwurst in front of the TV in the middle of the night. And he told me to take away her freedom and all that, and it worked. So I yanked the carpet up and did all that and left the floor bare for a couple months, put new carpet in the living room again, and now it's starting all over again.
Oh.
But she did not do it when I had the hardwood floor. Everything was fine. As soon as I put the new carpet in, get up the next morning and aired it. Yow.
And you're asking, what can you do about it?
Yeah, do I start all over again?
Well, I think that you're going to have to get some control of this dog to make sure that, you know, that when it should be going out to do bathroom, that it has access to do it, even if it means you're more frequently going out with it. Especially with isolation now, you have time to do that. So kind of get back into a training program, I think, is the best way to handle it. And, again, control the freedom of the dog until you know that a poop was passed and that you feel comfortable that's not going to happen again. And you do that, okay? And I think that's important.
Phil, do you have hardwood floors anywhere else in your house?
I just got tile in the kitchen, but it's always right in front of the TV. The same spot when I had the old carpet in before. And of course, like I said, I took the carpet out and left it bare for 2 months, and there was no problem. As soon as I put the carpet down, in the middle of the night, sometime, I get up, and there it is.
And it's the same spot.
Same spot.
That is weird.
Yeah, in front of the TV. And I stand at the floor and everything before I put the carpet down, right in front of the TV.
And when, is it a he or she? Is it a male or female?
She. It's a she.
Okay, when she does this, it's obviously a time when you're not watching her. And then walk in and there it is, right?
It's when I'm always sleeping. Now, before, she'd go to the door and sit there, and I'd let her out when, like Dr. Doug, they take her freedom away and let her out. Well, then she got to where she'd sit by the door. If it was 11 o'clock at night or 5 o'clock in the evening, and she'd go out and do her business and come back in. But once I put the new carpet down, starting all over again.
All right, here's my only suggestion, and I'm not kidding when I say this. When you go to bed...
Dog.
No. Wow. When you go, if you could get if you could get like a 3x3 or 4x4 piece of hardwood, like a sample of hardwood the company would put in, and before you go to bed, just put it down in front of the TV. Would the dog go on that? That's a lot easier to deal with and clean up, and it protects the carpet. I mean, I know that's not an ideal solution permanently, but I just wonder if the dog would go there to that piece of hardwood that you put over the carpet.
No, I think the dog would just go right to the edge of it and poop on the carpet.
Wow.
So I think the dog has an interest in the carpet because it's a new piece of something there in the environment. And there's a memory, there's a possibility that the memory of the dog, you know, this is the spot I used to poop. Thank God he finally let the grass grow out. So I'm ready to poop again. I don't think it's anything you didn't do. I think it sounds like you did the correct things. And unfortunately, this dog has a thing for pooping on carpet.
So, yeah, you know, that's how I would address it.
But only on one spot.
Yeah, right in front of the TV. The first time they do it, from... number one, if there was a memory relationship to that site, that's number one. Number two, once they poop, now they've, you know, they've put material down on the rug and it's going to reattract them to it. So that's kind of the never-ending battle against poop.
Okay. Now, one more question, if I can.
Sure.
What is a good... I think she's eating some outside. What is a good product to buy that's not harmful, that you can trust? To put, I heard you can put it in with the dog food. And I hear rumors, but I don't want to buy anything that's going to make the dog sick.
Yeah, so we you know, mentioned you mix many it in times, with the food. There is a product called Forbid, F-O-R-B-I-D.
Forbid.
Yeah, okay, that's, there may be other ones out there. Yeah, it's designed to go in the meal, and then whatever it does, it has the ability to deter the animal from going after eating poop.
Deterred.
And that's probably the simplest thing to do. And there may be other products now that will do the same thing. That's the one that I'm so familiar with. Okay?
All
right. So your veterinarian should be able to help you with that. Yeah, give it a try.
Okay, you got to go to a vet or can you buy it over the counter?
That's something you go to the vet, I believe. I don't think you'll be able to get it at the pet shop. Okay?
Perfect.
Good luck.
All right, Phil. Good luck with that
dog.
Thanks,
guys. Wow. All right, thanks.
That's pretty weird, though. He changed the carpet, and the dog still went to the same exact spot. It's something about that spot.
Well, he put new carpet down, don't forget. So,
yeah, but the dog did it before the new carpet on the same spot. So
well,
don't
forget, their sense of smell is so much greater and more acute than ours. It's possible that, I don't know if he said that he actually cleaned the surface after he pulled up the pad and everything, but maybe it would have been important to put some product down there that we've talked about, something like Odoban or something like that, to let that saturate into the wood so it doesn't, you know, allow for any other, you know, if that material or whatever it is, hormone or chemical is impregnated into the wood as well, that's just going to draw the dog back with the... But then you ask, well, why did it not do it when there was no rug there? And you go, there's some correlation between the texture of the carpet and the behavior of the dog, I would have to guess. No one knows.
Well,
it's like the coronavirus. Where did it come from? We just may never know.
China.
Well, we have a... we have a line open now. We still have one line open. 314-821-0590. If that doesn't work, hit this one. 855-282-8255. Elliot, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug.
Hey, Dr. Doug, how are you doing today?
Pretty good. You, Elliot?
I'm doing well. And Frank and the gang, AM the PM.
Thank you, Elliot.
Dr. Doug, I've called a couple years ago. I have a 13, she's like 13 and a half years old. She's a mini Dapple Dachshund. And she got up in the middle of the night, was acting a little funny, went to take her to go outside to go to the bathroom. She started like wobbling like she was drunk. And took her outside. She even fell over and her eyeballs were going back and forth. You know, like ping pong balls, kind of.
Yes.
And we took her to the vet, and they said that it was some kind of nerve damage, maybe. They put her on some antibiotics, maybe some inner ear. It's something that happens with older dogs, like Vestibula or...
They're talking about something called spontaneous vestibular syndrome.
Yes, that's exactly what I was going to say.
So the vestibular system is... that part of the inner middle ear that kind of keeps your balance. And it's like people, have you heard of people with Meniere's disease? They have that inner ear issue too that comes and goes, and non-specific inflammation. So this is, if that's what it is, this is a syndrome in dogs typically that comes on just out of nowhere and then over time disappears out of nowhere, and it's okay. But a lot of times veterinarians will help covering with antibiotics in case of something else, or they might try an anti-inflammatory or even a steroid in cases just to keep the inflammation down. And there's also a drug they call meclizine. Humans use it as well.
Yes, that's the one I was going to recommend.
Yeah, meclizine. And they'll use that to help with the balance issues while you're getting through it. So those are common things. Now, at the dog's age, you can't discount the possibility that it's something else, like a seizure, could have been a first-time seizure he saw, or, God forbid, if it keeps coming back over time, it could be that there's a tumor or a growth in the brain that's causing the same thing. But hopefully,
my wife swore she was having a stroke. Her eyes were going in, really just total drunk. But the doctor said that it should get better, and my wife's just super worried that, you know, it's not. But
well, if it is, and hopefully it will be, the spontaneous vestibular syndrome. And if it's that, then yes, it should get better. It should get better on its own. You just got to manage the dog so he doesn't trip and hurt himself and stuff like that. Okay?
Okay, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Elliot, thank you for listening, Elliot. We appreciate it. 314-821-0590-855-282-8255. Doc, I mentioned earlier that I would share this story when you came on today, and it's
okay.
The story came out this morning about cats that are allowed to go outside. There are people, correct me if I'm wrong, whose cats never see the outdoors. I mean, it's just an indoor cat, right? They never let it out. But there are people that are able to let their cats out. Check this out. It says, and this is a study of a lot of cats that they tracked and put GPS and little GoPros and stuff on them. It says when you let your cat out, that house cats kill, on average, while they're out roaming around, 3.5 other animals a day.
House cats?
Now, they don't say what it is they kill. Like 3 rats or 2 moles and a bird. But it comes out, bird, but it's 3.5 of whatever it is every day. Yet they don't bring them back home like a dog does. We used to have an outdoor cat. I didn't want it, but we kind of inherited it with the house we live in now, 36 years ago or whatever it was. These people said, would you mind, we've got this cat that was born out here in the woods, and it comes up, we just feed it. It stays outside in the garage. They made a little door. Horrible mistake we made, saying, sure,
yeah,
the cat can still stay here. It was a terrible mistake. But this thing pretty much had to go out and kill junk on its own. Yeah, we put some food out, but you could tell this cat. Does that sound like that? I guess
well,
it is right.
I don't
but
know.
It sounds like enough. 3.5 other animals a day.
Yeah, I mean, they are tremendous hunters. I mean, they're at the top of the food chain. And in fact, that's why a lot of times you'll see people requesting to get a stray cat, they'll put it in their barn because they want to keep the mouse and the rodent population down. But to say that it's that specific number, that's possible. That's whatever their study showed. But we don't know how many wild cats, feral cats are eating, right? They could be eating twice that much. So it doesn't surprise me any domestic cat or non-domestic cat. They are great hunters and they have the ability to be effective out in the wild. So my problem with them out in neighborhoods is I don't like that they kill all the natural little animals, the lizards and the little chipmunks and all that stuff. So I prefer not having cats running wild, but that's kind of my own personal gig.
Hey, you know? And before we take the next call, can you have a chipmunk as a pet? Because they're real cute little things. But I've never seen anybody who had a chipmunk for a pet.
Yeah, they are in various similar species are in the pet trade, but you got to get them really young. Otherwise, they just bite the CR out of you. They're very bitey. So it wouldn't be my first choice for a cat.
Did you name him Alvin?
No, I wouldn't, Dan. Kind of like a squirrel. Not cute, but jerky, but not a good pet. Let's go to Mike. Yeah. Mike, welcome to 590 The Fan. Say hello to Dr. Doug Pernikoff.
Hey, Dr. Doug. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Not too bad, thanks. I want to say hi to Frank and the guys.
Mike,
hey, what's up, Mike?
First time caller, long time listener, love this segment.
Well, we're glad to have you here. How long have you been listening?
A long time. I am AM and the PM.
Well, I can tell that, but long time, give me a rough idea. 5 years, 10 years, 15 years?
15 years, easily.
All right, that deserves a round of applause.
Wow.
You guys are the best.
So how can Dr. Doug help you?
I have 2 pups. They're both about 11 years old now.
Okay.
One of them and it's the old anal gland issue.
One of them.
I just had him in Monday. Got, you know, for his checkup, got all the up-to-date shots, had him express the anal glands. Because, I mean, he was just scooting like nothing. Got him home, and he's still scooting. They said, yep, his anal glands were full. I just don't know what to do for the poor guy, because he's scooting on the concrete right now. I'm watching him.
Well, a couple of things that may have gone on. Number one, they may not have completely emptied the gland. And if what kind of dog was it again? A big dog?
No, he's a mix, dachshund mix.
Oh, okay. And then number two, in doing the cleansing, when they go in and actually digitally massage the gland out, they could have irritated the area pretty badly. So by pinching too hard, and that's why I'm not a big fan of groomers doing it, just because I think that it's much more effective the way the vets do it. But you know, you could, either way, you can irritate the animal. So the bottom line is, I would call your vet back and say, look, if you think it's all right, you get a good cleansing, then I need to get some anti-inflammatory drug to help my dog, because he's really hurt. And then the other thing is, if this dog continues to have that problem, if you want to avoid surgery, the other thing you could do is have your vet, under a light sedation or maybe no sedation, flush him out with some kind of cleansing solution. And then they can even put antibiotics right into the gland port on either side. And a lot of times that helps a lot.
Here's my question, because this anal gland thing is disgusting. It's come up over the years a lot. Can you just not remove it? I mean, is it necessary? Can't you get rid of it?
You can remove them. The problem is that you're right at a point there. Unless you've done them, you know how to do them correctly, you can cause some damage to the tissue and the nerves there, and you could end up with an incontinent dog.
Ooh,
walking
so
around,
good.
Pooping everywhere, dripping poop.
Nobody wants that.
So good. Now, as a cost saving measure, could Mike squeeze the dog's anal gland himself and do it? Just could he save money by doing that?
Squeeze
that? Can he do that? Well, that's what you do. Express it means squeeze the junk out.
Yeah,
of it.
That's true.
Can he do that, Doc?
Suggest that. I mean, he could, but it wouldn't be easy. You'd have to have someone kind of teach him and manage him initially. Otherwise, like I said, he could really hurt the dog. And so I would say it wouldn't be my first suggestion. Never did suggest that to pet owners, even owners who really know dogs, like trainers and stuff like that. It's just not something that you want to be responsible to as a veterinarian. Say, hey, go try
this. Do all dogs have this issue?
Well, they don't all have the issue, but they all have the potential for the issue, because they all have the structure.
Right.
So, they potentially can. And some vets may even suggest that you try a higher fiber diet. And there are probably a number of those out there. Probably every single company, whether it's Purina or whatever, Science Diet, I think they all probably have a higher fiber diet option that may help bulk up that poop. So when the poop's coming through, it should express the walls to push that material out. The problem is our captive diets, our pet diets, produce a softer poop than what you would see in the wild. In the wild, they do it, and they express the gland when they sit down to poop, and then they've left some of that granular material on the poop, and it marks the territory. So another animal comes by in the forest and says, oh, yeah, Johnny the Fox was here.
Johnny the Fox.
Johnny the Fox.
That's a Lizzie song. Come on, man.
Hey, Mike.
You could have Dan. Frank Dan could give him Pierre the Boil Sucker's number, and he could maybe go over there and help him out.
Oh, take him over to Pierre. Pierre would love Mike, all of that dog.
Mike, since you're a first-time caller, I have something for you.
Her rear end's feeling mighty riled. That's why Pearl goes wild and does a butt scootin' boogie.
Right, yep. I see that in the dog. Yep. Oh, you guys are the best. I appreciate it.
Well, no Mike, problem. Good luck with that anal gland thing. We've talked about that lots of times over the years, and it's disgusting every time. Thanks for bringing it up. I appreciate it.
Oh, hey. I'm just glad I got a good glove and Vaseline and try it myself.
Oh. All right, don't do that. Oh. Doc says don't do that. Thank you, Mike. Thank you. Now, I don't know that we ever got a real answer to this question, but when a dog goes out, when you take your dog out, and again, sorry, cat people, I don't know anything about cats. When you take your dog out, there are certain breeds, it takes them forever. They circle and circle, and then they move and they circle. And what are they looking for? You're going to poop, for goodness sake. What are you looking for? A place that smells good or bad or rough or smooth or grass, or what the heck are they looking for?
Yes.
All of the above.
So we don't know. I don't know exactly why, but they're obviously, they're sniffing around and they're trying to find the best place. And, you know, I don't know if it's texture or just the motion, the movement, so that the poop is ready to, you know, come out. So that's when they're ready to squat wherever they're moving. So I that's an interesting question. I can look into it and see if I can find a more specific answer.
We had a dog that we had a Shih Tzu. I couldn't stand that dog. And one of the things I couldn't stand about it, I mean, you could be outside for 40 minutes, just wait with a leash, and it would move to one. And then when you saw where it went, and you remember where it went last time, there's not a dime's worth of difference. This place had some mulch, and so did this one, or this had grass. And I just wondered if there was even a way to do any kind of study or experiment to find out what they are looking for or smelling for before they decide, ah, this is the place right here. Perfect.
They might also be picking up the smells of another dog or creature that's been in there and either urinated or passed a stool sometime in the past. Again, labeling that area as a point of interest. But hey, it's probably all of the above. So
I was going to ask Dr. Doug a question, and I completely forgot. I just completely forgot.
You forgot by the time you said, hey,
yes,
you forgot?
Yes. Wow. It just completely left me.
Senility.
Doc, oh, my goodness.
Doc, my smallest dog that I talked to you about, he's been sneezing for 2 solid months now. Is that extreme? Have you seen it ever happen longer than that?
Oh, sure. So it's a possibility that there's some little foreign body that he's snuffed up into his nose and could be sitting there irritating. Is it one-sided?
No, it's both nostrils.
Yeah, so and it could also be an allergic condition. And, you know, we don't know exactly what your dog's expressing the allergy to, but it could be from something they inhale or, you know, breathe in, or something they've eaten or whatever. And it can just express itself that way. So without getting a good exam and looking into it, it's a little bit hard to tell, you know, just from that symptom.
Do you recommend
COVID-19?
When it is in there, though, do you recommend that I take a paper towel or a Kleenex and start at the very top of his nose and, like, literally squeeze it out like a tube of toothpaste?
Ew.
You can't.
To get it out of there?
You won't be able to do it because
I have.
Most of that structure is a bony frame, right? Yeah. And right at the end is you got the little nostril part, the nares, and that little nose part is soft, but the rest of it going backwards up the face is going to be too solid to be able to do that.
It actually has had some success, but man, he hates it. It's to the point now where when he sneezes, if he sees me grab a Kleenex, he'll go run under the bed. He hates it that bad.
Yeah, so that's child abuse.
Yeah, well, probably right.
I remember my question, and I know we don't have much time, but are the glands on the inside or on the outside? Right on the outside.
I hope
so. They sit between the inside and the outside. So if you're at your vet's next time, you can actually ask him to show you. He can actually take a gloved finger, hopefully, and as he averts the wall of the rectum anus, you can see the
rectum
little
anus.
You can actually see the pores.
15 seconds.
Is the rectum anus different than just a regular anus? Is it a rectum anus?
How about the kilden anus?
I didn't know there was a rectum anus and a regular anus. Wow.
I think the anus is more specific to the right at the end there.
Well, this has been a wonderful discussion. I'm sorry it's over. We'll do it again next week. Maybe we'll go the whole time and not talk about anal
glands.
The whole
time.
The whole time. Dr. Doug Pernikoff, everybody. Thank you, doctor. That was good, Dan. The whole time. Dr. Doug brought to you by Window World, the number one selling replacement window in the country for a lot of great reasons. And you can find out all about them at windowworldstlouis.com. It's already 5 o'clock. It's my favorite hour of the whole show. And you're about to see why. Again, it's 5 o'clock at 590 The Fan.
We're all changing things up to stay healthy. We're here 24-7.
590 The Fan, KFNS Wood River, St. Louis, the home of Budweiser.
NBC News Radio, I'm Brian Shook. The light at the end of the seemingly never-ending coronavirus.